Okay.
All right, we'll start the public hearing at 5:34. The work session at 5:34. Delineator posts and fog lines. Jerry, you want to update us?
Yeah, I can do that.
This is in reference to Drake's Landing. Talked about fog lines. Everybody wants on Drake's Landing. The only problem is Drake's Landing is slated for a new wear surface. Okay, oil and stone. All right. We put down oil and stone. You put a fog line on it, it isn't going to last. And the price to put a fog line on that road from one end to the other is, bear with me one second, no, I have it, road striping, $5,220.08. Now if you fog line that,
say it again,
$5,220.08 is it, that's just one of my estimates from one of my vendors, Supco.
Okay.
I don't feel that after one plow season those fog lines will still be there. So there's $5,000 out the window, and then they're going to want them again. And I can't see putting $5,000 on that road every year for a fog line, even though it's not from us, it's, I guess, from your budget, right?
It's a general fund.
Okay. So it doesn't have a monetary effect on me, but looking at it as part of our resurfacing of that road this year project, I got looking at that and I said, why not delineate it? Every 200 feet, put a delineator up, shows the edge of the road, they're reflective, they're, I think, 66 inches high, okay? Yeah, 66 inches high. If you look when you come in Willett Parkway, there's white ones along the medians at the curb lines and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They've been there quite a while. So, and they're not even to the standard that these are. These are, this is just showing you a yellow one. And what it is it's a breakaway. Okay, it has the breakaway system built into it. It's a plastic over a metal, as you can see, and it's got a breakaway at the bottom. We can get them in yellow, we can get them in white. And then you get a reflective stripe around the top, okay? They're $21 a piece. The road's 12,000 feet long. If we put them 200 feet apart, you're talking 60 on a side, 120 of them at 21, you're talking about $2,400 or $2,500, half the money. And I figured maybe the smart move would be to buy an extra two dozen of them. We throw them on the shelf. That way if one of them disappears or gets ruined, we can put another one right in its place. More of a permanent solution to people seeing the edge of the road down Drake's Landing.
So is this put right in the road then?
No. As you can see, like in this particular picture, it's just off the curb.
So where would the line have been?
If you put a fog line on it, it would be like a foot in from the edge of the road.
Actually, the old ones were at, say, they were 6 foot in, so they had 6 foot.
Were they six?
Yeah, they had 6 foot shoulders.
So I can't picture why. I thought the fog line was to delineate a pedestrian area on the shoulder.
I think the intent was for a shoulder.
Was it what they wanted?
Because there's only so much sidewalk on that road. It's so, you got sidewalk and then there's a break. It wraps around and then disappears. And then the sidewalk comes back again. And I think the main attraction was that the line would show you exactly where the road was.
Right.
So that a motorist knew that they were on the road.
The pavement is much wider than it needs to be.
Well, that road's 36 feet wide.
So a fog line would keep you in the center of the road. Yeah.
Typical road is 24 feet, curved, sluice to sluice. This one's 36. Brundage is wide, Loop is wide, you know, there's a couple of them here, they're very wide. We jokingly said, gee, what if we planted these delineators 6 feet in on each side and created a bike lane on the outside edges? Yeah.
Well, so can you do that?
These could be planted wherever you want to plant them.
Yeah,
he didn't want us to poke holes in the asphalt.
You're poking holes in the asphalt, can turn into a maintenance headache. You got to keep it sealed, otherwise the frost deepens.
Yeah, you don't want water in.
Are we covering this road? You said oil and stone differently than we have been, or
no,
has it always
no.
been an oil and stone?
It's been oil and stone.
No, that was a hot mix road that was falling apart. We did a cold in place recycle process on it 5 years ago. This will be the fifth summer.
So why did we agree to stripe it a year ago or 8 months ago when we knew that it was just an oil and stone road?
Well, it was striped. It was striped
previously before it was cold in place recycled.
Yeah, you can see remnants of the striping on the shoulder.
Well, only in Google Earth now you can, but yeah.
Right, not since it was redone.
So when was it redone?
Pardon?
Five years ago.
This is his fifth summer.
Right,
yeah.
So it's been 5 or 6 years that we've had oil and stuff. I'm just kind of, we're kind of getting caught here because we told this community that we were going to do it. And I wish we had had this conversation 8 months ago when we knew it was an oil and stone road and it would have been a foolish thing to do. Because if it's foolish today, it was foolish 8 months ago. Okay. So what's different?
But no, we were, Gene and I both said that this isn't necessarily, it does not meet the Warren analysis from a traffic safety standpoint to strike it.
Well, that's a different argument.
Right.
I'm hearing a practicality issue or practical issue that it's, you know, it's going to be there for less than a snow season in terms of planting.
No, it'll last more than a snow season, but I doubt you get more than three out of it.
You're going to have to keep redoing it, was my point.
I mean,
if we do it,
right,
you got to oil and stone it.
Well, we wouldn't do
it.
We're scheduled to, in my mind, Drake's was a promised fog line deal last year. It needs a new wear surface put on it, which is oil and stone, given the process that was used on that road.
Yep.
So obviously we would oil and stone it, then stripe it.
The other option would be, and we wouldn't want to do it right immediately, adding some streetlights. That road right now only has streetlights at intersections. But the bigger complaint that I remember hearing was, how dark it is at night, you can't see anything.
You get the rainy, glary night.
So you could put some street lights, do the delineators and the street lights, and then those lights would be charged to the Radisson Lighting District, so they would, the people that live in Radisson would be paid for.
So the striping was only requested for the dark hours?
As I recall, that was the biggest complaint. Yeah. Nobody could see where they were going at night.
It was dark and pedestrians on the road.
Yeah.
What about those reflectors you can put on in, you know, right on the pavement surface that you see?
Certainly a possibility.
Yeah.
Problem is the plows kill.
The plows will take them off too.
Yeah, the plows kill them.
They work great in Florida.
Yeah, the plows up here kill them.
However, Jerry, I applaud.
This was just a thought I had.
I applaud you for looking at trying to save money.
Absolutely.
I believe fog lines 6 feet in and delineators a foot outside the edge of pavement is for two different applications.
Mm-hmm. We're just trying to show where the road was.
If we're trying to show the driver where the driving lane is, the fog line probably does the best.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to separate pedestrians from traffic, the fog line is the best. It certainly doesn't hurt to know where the end of the pavement is with mm-hmm. delineators.
We have some delineators on that road.
That has never been an issue.
No.
This was all about pedestrians.
I mean, the ones we have are to show our guys
yes.
where the turns are going into some of the different streets. You'll see that.
I think they work great on both.
Yep.
Al, didn't you mention another surface option as well?
You could cape seal it. And so you do a stone oil and then a fiber micro seal on top of the stone.
Is that still a viable option for it?
Sure. It just adds, you know, another $55,000.
We can paint stripes for 10 times.
10 times.
Yeah. Well, no, cape seal is for the whole road surface.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you look at, just so you know, because we are getting near this road part, to do our oil and stone, the whole length of that road, almost 12,000 feet, 36 feet wide, and put the stripes on it, is $50,930. Okay? That's not bad for the amount of road you got there, because it's obviously extra cost of width. That's just from one vendor. I got a couple other vendors pricing the same roads right now, so we can start tallying things up.
What is there a life expectancy between the two treatments difference? Is oil and stone lasting just as long as a Cape Seal or
no,
longer?
You'll probably get a couple more. You'll probably get 7 years out of a Cape Seal, where you're only going to get about 5 out of a oil and stone service in that road.
Right.
It's not a big enough difference. If we committed to this community to stripe it at $5,200 every 3 years, that's what I'm hearing, 3 years?
Yeah, probably that's what you're going to be at.
So it's $1,400 a year.
When would you do it? Would you wait till the stone set in?
Yeah, you got to wait. I would recommend striping that until sometime in September, probably.
Got to get compacted.
It's got to heal essentially.
But the minute it goes down, we have to put in our heads, you know, we're not going to do this, but it's like $1,400 a year to keep Drake's Landing striped.
When the people talked to us, did we commit to doing this?
We did, because I thought originally that we could use, there's $50,000 left over from two previous applications for
a grant. Unfortunately, they won't let us use it.
And we applied to use that $50,000 because it got the, either, it
got denied because the treatment has to be longer than a 10-year life cycle.
Right. So they get denied. And then we're going to move that to another and just reallocate funds. Then come to find out that technically a fog line is a type of street signage, and signage comes from the general fund. It doesn't come from the highway fund. So there was an obstacle there. It's, you know, to go back to the original points, it's an exception to the rule for what the town typically does on town roads. We don't typically line our town roads. It's not out of the ordinary for a municipality to consider a situation. The village did it on Downer Street. Downer Street's a very wide street, especially when you get down by where the apartments are. It's really wide. It's a village street. Village streets aren't typically lined, but because of the width of the road, it was determined that we should line that road as well to delineate where the driving lanes are. So this isn't unheard of.
All the county roads within the town are striped.
I don't have an issue with striping. That's why I said we agreed to this 8 months ago.
Well, hold on. I remember the conversation. I don't remember doing it every 3 years. I remember doing it.
Well, this is the first time I've heard every 3 years.
So if it wasn't for the fact that there was an efficacy issue here in terms of how long this thing is going to last, then we wouldn't be discussing it. Just do it. But I think we're kind of boxed in here. We said we were going to do it. It's we like to emphasize walking and bicycle riding, so it's $1,400 to the town of Lysander every year, times, you know, every 3 years.
Well, we do it this time. Is there a way for us to set up a district or so that they'll be, not instead of the general fund being charged, that the Radisson Association or the individuals in this area that are benefiting from it will be able to put the money aside if they feel that it's necessary again in 3 years? We committed to it once, but
it's no different than oil and stoning Wheaton Road.
Well, this is considered, I think this is a luxury. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's public safety. I wouldn't say. It's a feeder road, so it feeds a lot of neighborhoods, and there are whenever I drive it, I either see a bike, one or two bikes, or someone walking along it. So, you know, and for a community that's known for its trail system, it just seems like that is a road that everyone likes to walk on. I don't know why. But
this was just a suggestion when we were going through the bidding process, because I saw the number and said, geez.
No, Jerry.
For the dollars.
You're doing exactly what I would expect. Yeah, this isn't.
I don't want to muddy all these waters. I mean.
No.
Because this was something that was talked about before.
Yeah, exactly.
Before I was in place. So
we promised we'd take care of this.
Okay.
I don't think we can back
out. Let's
just do it. Well, Grandison has an HOA. Why would you not charge the people that are using 98% of the people that drive Drake's Landing live in Radisson. I am a Radisson resident. If Radisson wants it, Radisson should pay for it.
It's their trail system, their lights.
their markings.
We had this conversation with them, didn't we?
Yeah, and we're going to have it again.
What did they say?
It's not right. The whole town shouldn't pay
town for striping
if we don't stripe any other town roads.
Well, so is Wheaton, so is Fenner. So.
Well, the difference is that you said,
right.
You said was the width of the road.
Yep.
That's the difference between all the other roads.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be made perfectly clear so it doesn't become this issue of, well, now we want our road done, we want our road done.
Oh,
well,
you know what I mean?
I think what's driving this is that it was done before.
It was done.
It was lined before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the road was treated, and then it wasn't done again. And the residents that enjoyed the lines, that felt safer, want to see it again. So there was past precedent to do it. I don't know how it was done, what account paid for it, but it was done somehow. And so...
At least now you have an idea what it's going to cost.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, we had a pretty good idea.
No, that's about the same number that I had.
Is it?
Yeah. I think I was at $4,800. So,
you know, I don't like to get into this them and us kind of an argument. I mean, Radisson is part of the town of Lysander. So let me ask you a rhetorical question. If I get on a bicycle, is there a gate that prevents me from going on the trails at Radisson? Am I not allowed to do this?
No.
I'm not allowed or I am allowed?
You are allowed.
Okay. So Drake's Landing is a public pedestrian bicycle road, and it's all part of improving our community and making it look good. And the reason we don't stripe Wheaton Road is it's not conducive to bicycle riding, whereas Drake's Landing happens to have been built for whatever reason, I don't know, wire, and you know, we ought to be grateful that we've got an opportunity to allow that kind of opportunity.
Agreed.
So I'm about the big picture in this community instead of segregating and trying to segregate out different components of this community.
On the safety aspect, too.
Jim?
I would argue that Eagle Hole Road may get more bicycles than Drake's Landing does. You get a great many bicycles coming down. You know, I mean, groups of 20 and 30 at a time.
That's not the point, Jim. The point is Eagle Hole Road does not allow itself to be set up as for a bicycle lane. If Eagle Hole Road was as wide as Drake's Landing, maybe we would have this conversation. But it ain't. And you, if you want to get on your bicycle, like I do, whether it's Lamson Road, Dingle Hole Road, Wheaton Road, you know, you take it, you do it with the understanding that you've got to deal with the traffic on your own. The beauty of Radisson is that you have opportunities there to take your grandkids, your kids, and safely walk or bicycle ride, and they don't tell you to get the hell out if you don't live there.
No, but every Radisson resident pays for those trails they have on.
Okay.
So they're
God
already used
them.
To paying for
them. God bless them.
I pay $30 a month for those.
Don't with this.
I'm not. It's a public meeting.
All right, well.
I mean, you're opening the precedent for every person who lives on a road if they ask you to strike them. How do you argue? Because I would argue
that a
more narrow road deserves striping because you have less room for somebody to walk on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I would go back to the fact that precedent was set when it was lined years ago.
Then you need to go back and figure out how they found the money.
I don't really need to do that, but I will.
Okay.
Thanks for the suggestion. Let's keep it civil. Let's keep it civil. Okay? We can have a conversation without...
And we are. The town supervisor lived off of his name. End of story.
So.
Thank you, Jerry.
For now, we'll move ahead like we had planned last year, and we'll do factor that into your...
Well, it's right here on
your paving plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yep.
All right. I got to get a piece of paper.
So no parking ordinance, Jerry, as well, or?
No parking ordinance. They came to, we had a meeting yesterday, the day before, and the Radisson Homeowners Association came to the town and said they had their garage sale on Mother's Day, which has become a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all the first responders, the police department, the fire department, the ambulance, we were all at the meeting. And we're trying to figure out what do we do for our safety. One of the suggestions was that we pass an ordinance prohibiting parking on certain streets just for that Saturday and Sunday. we'd have to adapt a law. Otherwise, if they couldn't issue a ticket, but that's what they're looking for, is for us to issue adapt a law that prohibits parking on the streets. There's about five streets.
Will it drink?
Oak Brook Road, Twin Flowers Road, Van Weed Drive West.
No, two hands.
Oh, there's more than there's several streets. Oak Brook Road, Twin Flowers Road, Van Weed Drive West, Aletta Circle, Corlear Drive, Van Weed Drive East, Madeline Drive, Briar Patch, Reston Drive, Gray Birch, Stanford Drive, and Mariners Drive. They tell us that those are the roads that there's the most problem.
They, meaning first responders, tell you this?
Well,
or
both.
The residents?
Both. There was a lady from the Sheriff's Department who works there, you know, patrols Radisson. She confirmed that those are problem areas. But Radisson Homeowners Association brought the problem to
her. How do you do a garage sale if you can't allow people to park?
Well, no,
they want to restrict the park.
You got to park on a different
just
street.
Park on one side or the other. What they're doing is they're parking on both sides. And making it difficult for like the school bus.
So what are we proposing?
So let me set this up.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. So last night we had a meeting. RCA thought that we should get ahead of the Mother's Day, the traditional Mother's Day garage sale. I've witnessed it. My sister lives in the middle of it, so I've seen it firsthand. People come from all over. They come from Canada. They come wide and far to shop in this community in Radisson. And what they do is they park on both sides of the road. There's no restrictions, and so it gets tight. You have people actually stop in the middle of the road for a few minutes just because they want to go check out an item with no regard with who's behind them. For years, there's been a safety concern as far as vehicle traffic, kids running in and out between cars. It just really narrows those streets. And so we had a meeting yesterday with the RCA. Tony was there. Jerry, we're fortunate to have Jerry there. Al was there.
Nope. I didn't sit down on that one.
Oh, you weren't there?
No.
Okay. Ballinsville Ambulance Corps and Belgium Cold Springs Fire Department, and they all shared the same concerns, and the representative from Sheriff's Department that patrols Radisson on a regular basis. And they brought it up last year, but they brought it up late. We really weren't in a position to do anything about it. It's within our power, because they are town roads, to have temporary restrictions placed on the use of our roads. We visit this on a regular basis. When we look at road races, there are roads, it's a public safety concern, so it's this board's prerogative to act in some way to improve safety. So the best solution, there were a lot of ideas that came out, but the consensus in the group was that we identify key streets where we allow parking only on one side. And we pass a motion identifying the streets. It's going to be a law. It's going to be a law because, you know, you want to be able to enforce, you know, anybody could put a sign anywhere and say no parking here, but it needs to be a law from this board that we determine on these streets, on this side of the road, there will be no parking. That way people can be ticketed and or towed if they violate it. The feedback from the RCA was that for the most part, you know, people are coming into the community disregarding the it sounds like it's borderline chaos. So this is a good recommendation. It's within the board's power to consider. It would require a public hearing because it's going to be a local law. What we're proposing is on Oak Brook Road, Twin Flowers Road, Van Weed Drive West, Alita Circle, Corlear Drive, Van Weed Drive East, Madeline Drive, Briar Patch, Reston Drive, and Gray Birch, in addition to Stanford Drive and Marinus, that the mailbox side of the roads be restricted as far as allowing for parking. Because the post office just won't deliver. If they can't get through a road, or if they think that it's dangerous, they'll just withhold the mail.
That makes total sense. So who's responsible for signage?
They are. They'll, once the ordinance is passed by this board, if it's determined that that's the RCA will use its personnel to put those signs out.
The ordinance would basically say no parking on those streets as posted. So when they put the sign up, that's the sign that you don't park on. So the sign will say no parking this side.
Does it specifically say Mother's Day weekend?
No, it just gives the dates. It'll give the dates. From this date to this date, no parking on this side of the road.
Have they ever tried putting up the signs without the power of law behind them?
Well, there's no...
Yeah, I don't know if they said they did that and people kind of don't pay any attention to them, I guess.
Well, they want the enforcement ability. You know, because there's going to be sheriffs there. And a sheriff can't issue a ticket or do anything about it unless there is an ordinance.
No, I mean, the reason I asked that is because that's what we used to do that all the time. We used to put them up on Mud Lake Road, we still do for the Harvest Festival, Mapulia Road for the
Village of Liverpool, putting signs up all the time.
The Village of Liverpool during the regatta.
Yeah, we did the same thing.
But there was no legal...
that's the only... I mean, they could do it, but if you issued a ticket... I mean, you had no basis to issue a ticket.
Okay. Yeah, because
I'm not opposed to it. I'm just, you know, for years we used to do it without any kind of...
So, Radisson pays for printing the signs, they're the paper signs and wooden sticks. Radisson pays for all of that.
They put it out.
They install it out themselves. All they're looking for is a local law so that should a sheriff or state trooper decide to ticket somebody or remove a car, that there's a law behind it.
Yeah.
But there's no cost to the town whatsoever.
No.
Right.
Do they understand that just because you put a sign up and just because you have the power of the law there, that the likelihood of the sheriffs or anybody else showing up is virtually nil?
I think there's going to be driving patrols, and there's also going to be AAA trucks driving around. There's going to be a presence.
They have two sheriffs there all the time now.
Off duty.
And what I had suggested yesterday is that I think you need more sheriffs. If you saw the map and all the streets.
Sure.
So you need more police there because they can't possibly cover the whole area. It's just too big. And I think they said they were going to try to move a couple more police officers to the site.
I also suggested, look, you know, we did this in the village. You don't need more, you know, uniform officers. You need officers there so they can rip a ticket. But you could have a regular shirted security with a radio.
Right.
Call to a sheriff and say there's a car on this road. You know, you don't need police necessarily. You need some.
Yeah. Well, the security people can't issue tickets unless, and the suggestion was made to me after the meeting yesterday, similar situation goes on in the village of Skinny Atlas when they have the Dickens event and all that stuff. They deputize some people, and they also take pictures of the license plates to issue tickets. I'm just not sure that we want to get involved.
I don't. You know, I want to back them up as far as understanding that it's a public safety issue.
Right.
We are in a position to deal with it. They are going to handle the manpower and all the logistics side of it.
I thought about, you know, and we didn't talk about it yesterday, but I thought about. The association doesn't want to have anything to do with running the event. But I was thinking, and you know, they can't control it, basically. If they said, because they do have a homeowners association, no garage sale unless you get a permit, okay? And that they would freely give the permits, but they could limit the number. And on that particular weekend, they can limit the number to 500, whatever it is. And then next year, those people who got the permit the year before would take second place on a first-come, first-served basis. That would cut their numbers down, but I don't know if they want to do that.
Yeah, as far as like coming up, we offered some other options. I also mentioned to them there's a good chance that a resident who just needs to park in that spot for 5 minutes to take groceries in might get towed. You know, just let your residents know that it doesn't matter if you're local or if you're a guest, if you're parking on that side of the road during this ordinance, you're susceptible to getting ticketed and or towed.
Because most of the people that have garage sales take their cars and put them on the road because they need the driveway
The other thing you need to consider, the other thing I told them was, you're basically cutting the parking in half.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to be moving the problem out. So try to get ahead of it. If there's any other roads that you think are going to be narrow or a problem. This list came to us today.
So if we have if we do move forward with a public hearing, we're going to notify every single resident that's on these streets, right?
They're going to notify their residents.
They have a sheet that goes out to everybody, I guess, and they're going to publicize this.
Okay. And I feel comfortable with it as long as it's not both sides of the street. At first look, I thought that they wanted to limit parking completely on these streets. So
no,
just one side, just so that it's safer.
It makes total sense.
But Jamie Rudems was there from school, and he said last year there's the
buses.
On Friday is the big day, and the buses come to bring the kids back. They couldn't get through the street.
Friday's the big day because that's where all the it's fresh.
Yeah.
You know, no one's gone through it. You know,
people park on the corners, and the buses can't make the turn.
So So what we can do is,
the public hearing would have to be.
So you don't have a resolution.
You can do the public hearing. We can do the public hearing for the first meeting in April because we've got 3 weeks between meetings.
Yeah.
So if we want to call it adopt a resolution tonight, calling the public hearing.
All right. Why don't we? You want to draft one in the meantime?
And that way we can have it done by the first meeting in April. Because I'm not going to be at the second meeting.
I've got one thing. I want to go back real quick to the fog lines. I was thinking about I understand what you said, Bob. We told these people we would line the roads. So I 100% want to do that. Could we do that? And this is probably a Tony question too, though. Can we line those roads with the understanding that in the future...
The one road.
Right, that one road. I'm sorry, yes. That one road. Because we want to follow through with what we said we're going to do. We want to put the lines on that road. But can we do that with the understanding that in the future lines, as the road deteriorates, will be paid for by the Radisson community?
You can put that. I mean, there's nothing that's going to compel you to spend money 5 years from now. So if you want to put it in the resolution now when you're doing it, saying we're going to do this, here's the condition. At least it's on the record.
Right.
That's 5 years from now, when who knows who's going to be here. This is what the board said.
Right.
Well, we don't need to pass a resolution on this, do we?
No.
We need to do it.
We have a little bit more research to do that I committed to. I want to figure out when it was done, how it was done, and all that kind of stuff. And that information may or may not exist. I mean, who knows? I mean,
gotcha.
Are you guys comfortable with that idea, though?
I am. I think that's a good idea because we agreed to do it, but I don't want to commit to every single 3 years or every 4 years to spend that kind of money.
I don't think you can as a board. I don't think you can bind
future
board to spend money.
We're making the decision just like a future board would make a decision.
Well,
but if you want it, put them on notice that it's an expectation that when those lines fade.
And basically, it's... Well, we tell the Radisson Association, the homeowners association, hey, this is the deal. We're doing this now, but let it be known that this is not a permanent fix for us.
Right. Are you comfortable with that, Bob?
I'm not sure I am.
I'm not sure I am.
No?
Because I would not be adverse, since we have plenty of time between now and when the paint goes down, for Joe to engage these folks in a conversation. In terms of what the issue is, why it's a difficult thing because it's oil and stone, the fact that it only lasts 3 years, and we're perfectly happy and willing to do it this time, but are you folks understanding that this might be a responsibility of Radisson? I have no problems with you having that conversation, but I was initially against doing this because I was saying to myself, why should we do this for Radisson? But the more I thought of it, is that it's part of the quality of life of this community to even have Radisson and to have the path there and all of that. And I take my grandkids bicycle riding in Radisson. I don't live there. And to me, as a gesture of saying, we're all part of this. It's no different than why we pave or redo Drake's Landing as a road no differently than we do Wheaton Road. So it's just one.
Yeah, I don't.
It's just the part of that road.
Towns are very different in how they look at, like, in the village, it was just determined Downer Street's wide. There should be lines on it, so we did it. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, set up a district and just these people benefit from it, so just these people should. It's just different in the
town. It's a part of our community.
It's a part of our community. It's a community that's open to outsiders using those trails.
It's
worth having a conversation with them, but I don't know if we can hold them to it.
Okay.
All right.
It's not their road.
Highway office improvements. Jerry?
Get back over here.
Again? Okay. Which one are we looking at now?
Something about your office.
Okay. Reception area. Getting into my papers now. Get the right pad in here. There we go. This is just a quick depiction for you. Okay. If you want to glance at it, disregard this line here. Okay. This would be the door into our office area. A couple of you have been over there and seen it, where you come in from outside into our main office area. The conference table we have sits over here in the alcove.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when you come in, you're wide open to the whole complex. All right. What we want to do is create an area where, like, a vendor or someone from the public or whatever comes over, they step in, there's a window you walk up to, okay? And there's also a door over here. Just a 10 by 10 area is what we're looking at, two walls. So you step in, you come up to the window. Obviously, my secretary's right here. She'll see if she's at her desk. If she's not, there's a button buzzer that will ring a bell out in the shop, so we know someone's out front. Because this door goes to the shop, you know, we step through and we're right there, you know, to meet someone, okay? What this will do for us, it'll stop the wandering public, the wandering vendors. We're in the shop working on things, and you turn around and there's people standing there. You know, what are you doing here? It'll control the public access to our facility. Okay, gives them an area to step in, a couple chairs sitting there. They can meet the secretary or buzz for one of us if she's not at the desk. If it's a vendor, someone that has an appointment with me, this door over here is an authorized entry only. So at that point, if it's someone that's here for an appointment, you know, open the door, they come into my office, we do our deal. Okay.
And what's this space here, Jeff?
That's just where you, it's not a space. This is outdoors. This line doesn't belong here.
Yeah. It's an outdoor.
Okay, this is just where you can park. There's a couple parking places here. You can walk over here. So this is the overhead door. The trucks come in and out.
This wall exists.
Wall exists with an exterior door with glass in it.
Right into the whole area.
You're right into the whole office complex. There's no. You can wander anywhere. We have people come in. You know, maybe secretary's not there. Okay. They come right through the store, come out in the shop, wander around until they find somebody. We might not even be there, and they come in. And they could be wandering around our whole facility. Not a good idea.
Can we put a little buzzer right there at that door?
That's a window.
No, this is the main door.
Lock that door, put your buzzer in, and it's the same thing, it's just not under the roof. How long are these people waiting outside? Or would they be?
Could be a little while.
That area does have a roof over it, doesn't it?
Sort of.
Doesn't it?
We have to shovel snow off it. So this was just a way to give a person a way to step inside, meet and greet. Okay, if they're there for an appointment, if they're waiting for me, I'm somewhere else in the shop or already with somebody, sit down. It's just a 10 by 10 spot. It's two 10-foot walls, 8-foot high.
So what do you need from us?
Just approval to do it.
How much does it cost?
We're looking at, I got most of the figures here, other than just a little signage and the buzzer. I've got that off on the side. And if we wanted to just, like, tile this floor area. Because our whole floor in that place, those of you that have been over there have seen it.
Can I look at this?
Sure, that's just your studding, your drywall. It doesn't include the buzzer. Doesn't include the little window, you know.
Al, are you talking about fobbing this?
Eventually, not this year.
All right. That's down the road. This just takes care of everything right away and
You got money for it?
We've got money in the building fund.
We figured all told with Al and I were talking about, we figured all told, you know, you're seeing an 888 here, you know, without the buzzer and a sign, you know.
Windows and flooring, so you're less than $2,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be surprised if it hit 1500. And my guys, we're not bidding it out. You know, we've got our moments right now where hopefully it'll stop snowing. And, I mean, you're talking, I'm telling you, this would take us to get the basic part erected and get the rock on it and get a coat of mud on it. We'd be lucky if it took us 2 days, you know, to lay it out, stand it up, nail it together, and have it all roughed in. The thing that'll take a few minutes is running a wire and hanging a buzzer and, you know, waiting for the mud to dry, basically. The tore, or yeah, can't even talk today. The floor, you know, the floor through our whole office complex, that is a huge area. And the floor that's there is just concrete and had like a concrete stain on it, if you will. And that floor is so bad, you can't even clean it. You try as you might, you can't make it look good. So we've talked about different things. Joe and I talked about it the other day. You know, you could put an epoxy coating on it, or you could tile it, or whatever, you know, because it's concrete. So you've got a heck of a base to begin with. So I figured since this 10 by 10 area, I probably have enough tile laying around that we could put down on that area, you know. So we're trying to do this kind of on the cheap.
Yeah, and
but to be effective and look good, I mean, there's even paint in this little estimate of materials.
How much money do we have set aside right now in this account?
Well, remember, we got the grant. Right. So we got the $30,000 grant, which will wipe out most, if not all, of the Phase 2 building renovations here.
Right.
So there's $30,000 available in that account now that could be unallocated.
And this is a general fund expense?
This is a whole town, because it's a building, it's a facility. Jerry works out of it.
I don't own it.
Charge your rent.
Good luck with that.
We do.
That'll be that voucher we don't ever see.
I support this.
Finally.
Yeah, we have the money budget.
You want to put a resolution together, sure, authorizing?
It's budget.
Yeah, up to two.
I mean, you can if you want to.
We're not outsourcing it.
We have money in the budget for materials. I mean, if you want to do a budget resolution, you can.
No
need. But budget, you can just do it.
Yeah. Just do it.
Okay, that's all.
Not to exceed $2,000.
Correct.
Okay.
Thanks.
I don't think we even come close to that. So
yeah, right. A piece of glass is like $150.
For when you're all said and done, just let us know what it was.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Materials, right? Not labor.
Yeah. Materials.
Well, do I get the architect fee?
Oh. No, technically,
those two walls. They're square.
You can get your labor back.
Stop. All right. Dina's not here to talk about special election ballots. She will be. CDBG grant application and 5-year plan. You guys got that right?
Yep.
Okay. So you want to pop over, Al? So Al and I brainstormed. We took some ideas from the public on what we... This is basically an updated 5-year plan. Again, traditionally or historically, the town hasn't gone after CDBG money because the areas that are designated as far as need areas, we don't really have a lot of projects that would qualify. We're making a pitch that our one and only town park serves that community that's identified. And Bob's got the map. Bob, if you can show everybody where that is.
We should all have that.
Yeah, it's west of East Mud Lake Road and north of 370.
Yep. So all these projects fall within the parameters of what the grant tries to accomplish. They either want to deal with blight, they want to assist or help
low income,
And recreational facilities are a common go-to because typically lower-income families will come to a park and utilize a park, and also those with special needs. The federal government still clings to the word handicap, and that's not a PC term anymore. We used it in the application, throughout the application. I would have preferred special needs, but because grants are so fickle and how they are distributed, they'd like to see the language mirror the requirements that are in, because if it doesn't, then they get all confused.
It's easy to throw it out.
It gives them a reason to say no.
Right. So the projects that are listed here are great projects. And these are things that we can go to bat for. I'm hoping that the pitch that we're making, I would say that the map is not accurate as far as communities of need within the town. But they go on a census data that's like 10 years old.
Yeah, it's not even so much that. The process that they use for designating these areas is, we'll call it a wag.
It really is.
Now,
there's things that we can do, but it costs money, and you have to bring in typically an outside firm, and they'll do like an income survey.
Income survey.
And they get people to tell a stranger
what your taxable income,
their income, and it's just.
So it's a good plan. I'm just specifically, you've got five projects listed for the next 5 years, including this one. Is there a budget for each of the years? And my question is, how does that pertain to item 8 to the budget? We're asking for 400. And what are we asking for? $50,000.
Yeah, max grant is $50,000.
We're asking total 5 years.
No. Each year, $50,000 is max. Yeah.
And so the culvert slip is also a stretch for us, but
yeah, we're asking.
We've made the case.
They said they've never had anybody ask, but we could try.
It's $50,000. It's worth a try.
So yeah, what were these other two numbers? $100,000.
That's the same grant from New York State Dorm Authority. And then the bond.
So are we committing to bonding then?
Nope. We can change the funding. You can change the funding down the road. You just have to keep the Onondaga County Community Development Department up to speed on how you're funding it.
But are we committing to $431,000 of other monies?
If we
are granted this,
yes.
We still have to pass a motion to accept the grant.
Correct.
So depending on where we are in the process, let's say they say, okay, the spray park qualifies, good luck with it, comes back, you know, wherever we are in the process of the spray park, we'll have to make that final determination. And then we will pass a motion to accept the grant or reject the grant.
So the funding, you just have to show in application, you just have to show that you have the ability to construct the project in its entirety. Mm-hmm. So that's what we have done.
So, Joe, on the resolutions,
yeah,
there's one for the application and one for the plan.
Yes. And that's
originally it was in one. But they should be separated.
Yeah, typically the five-year plan is submitted like in 2015, 2020. We didn't submit one in 2015. We just didn't feel that we had any projects that we could go after.
We're playing catch up,
so we have to do two separate resolutions.
I'm with you.
But you got to adopt the plan before we can.
Yes, you got to.
Do they Do they say yes to all 5 years, or is it every? No.
Each year. Each year.
We're telling them for the next four projects.
Yep, we're going to tell them this is what we think we're going to apply, but you can update and amend as you go along.
Yeah. So if we're granted the $50,000 for the spray part, then we'll have to come up with another project
to put onto the 5-year plan.
Yep. And they may look at this. They may look at the 5-year plan and say, well.
We're not giving you money for culverts. We're not giving you money for a generator, and we're not giving you money for drainage improvements.
Right.
Come up with three other things next year.
Sure.
And they've worked with municipalities that they've done that to.
Okay.
In terms of this public hearing, this note here, I don't have any problem accepting those questions as part of the public record. I don't think they ought to be read by the town clerk.
The town clerk didn't plan on reading. It was requested that I read them. We don't typically answer questions during a public hearing. We hear comments. So
you're going to read them?
I'll leave that up to the board.
What are the?
I guess we could look up the definition between a comment and a question.
A
question. Qualifies as a comment.
No, I have no problem accepting it.
Part of the minutes
and part of the public comments. I don't know if we should.
I mean, we're not going to. There are questions unless the board is compelled to answer questions during comment time.
You can submit it as part of the minutes. We were asked these questions. If you want, you can send them the answers if you want to respond.
All right. What's up, Gene?
I have a little error here. The second page is about the village sidewalks, and the back side of that page is about the spray part. So obviously, there's a printing.
Do we reuse paper?
Project descriptions include
execution. I don't know how many people are going to come for this public hearing.
Example.
What page are you on, Gene?
The second page.
She's on the second.
It's all about
project description. Where did that come from?
The village.
Whoops.
Well.
And on the back side of that.
Did you print the wrong one?
No. It looks like that's part of the.
I don't know. What page are you?
It.
Page two?
That's an example.
It looks like an example
that's part of the application. That's an example that was part of the application. That's why it's in bold. That's what they gave for an example in the county application.
Our project description is below that in regular text.
It says that's an example. It says the word example.
Yes,
it does.
Okay, Gene, thanks. Okay. Special election ballots.
She here?
Yeah. Oh,
need your glasses.
I do. I really do. Come on up, Gene. Or Dina. Gene.
It's hard to tell apart.
I've had a bowl of tuna fish all day.
Oh, jeez.
I heard that.
I bet you're not hungry, though, are you?
No, I'm fine.
That low carb diet?
I'm full.
I had bacon this morning, and I'm not hungry at all.
Nothing bad with bacon. All right.
You're on a crazy diet, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're on a diet?
I have 20 carbs. I can't have more than 20 carbs a day. I've already lost 15 pounds.
Wow. You only be one side of you.
I'll cancel the pizza that's coming in 10 minutes.
All right. Special election ballots.
Yeah.
Let's wrap about it.
So we were thinking 2,000 to print 2,000. But I'll give you some numbers that maybe you can, think about what we can work off those. In the 2017 general election, Lysander had a total turnout of 5,362 voters out of 15,777 voters registered. So that was a 33% turnout. Right now, Lysander's enrollment number is 15,734. That's what we're looking at for registered voters.
When's the last time we had a special election?
I don't know.
Do we have one for the
highway
ice arena?
Ice arena?
That might have been Jim, do you remember how many people turned up for that?
Really good crowd, actually.
Over 2,000? 2,000 is.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah.
And we got to pay for these, remember.
Yeah.
And we can always order more if there's
by 3 p.m.
When you say by 3 p.m., so we have up until 3 p.m.
To order them.
So we have 2 o'clock to, oh my God, we better get some more, we can do that.
I'm going to keep coming in and seeing where we are.
The rush is going to be in the evening, if there's a rush, after work.
Yeah.
So how much, what does a ballot cost?
25 cents.
Each ballot is 25 cents.
So I figure that out. I did the math earlier. So it's basically $500 for 2,000. But I'd rather have more than have to like rush and get, you know, print it and then run it.
So what happens if we run out?
Yeah, what does happen?
Yeah. Do we do it again?
We can't do paper. I mean, it's not.
Is it electronic? Is it electronic? Yeah.
Would we rather err on the side of caution and get 500 more?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
I would rather.
Yeah, I would too.
You know,
I would too.
God bless us if all those people turn out, but you know what? A ridiculous thing to not have enough.
I know, you just don't know, but I would.
I mean, if you come in here at 12 o'clock and only 500 have been used, you should be fine.
Well, 12 to 9. So.
But it's Friday, Tony, and everybody's gonna, if anybody comes out, it'll be after 5 p.m.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Unless people have a day off, I mean, but you
don't. So what were you saying, get another 500?
I'd get another 500.
That's what I would do, too.
It's going to cost you, what, 100 and...
Yeah.
$125.
Sure.
And you did a great job, anyways, of beating down the cost.
Thank
I know
you.
The initial estimates were $4,000 to $5,000.
Yeah, I was worried. I spoke with some other clerks in other towns who've done these things, and just trying to get an idea of what they spent, how many people came out to vote, and that kind of thing. But it's a totally different thing that we're doing than they had. Theirs was like building things and.
How many did Cicero have?
She said 600.
For how big of a project?
It was the highway.
It was the highway.
It was the highway garage.
That was a big issue there.
Yeah.
We're going to, I bet, you know, we should place a couple of gentlemen bets here, but it's probably going to be 500 votes that come out, voters that come out that night. But I'd rather be safe.
You're not one taking the drug here.
Well, how embarrassing would that be?
We didn't have enough.
Yeah, it just wouldn't be right.
Right. And it's one machine?
When you think about the general
two
election,
machines.
Two machines.
5,000 out of 15,000 people, that's not a lot at all.
And that's in the election.
That's in the general election.
It was the last one that we had?
Yes, 2017. Yeah.
And that was the Constitutional Convention and all that?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. That's good. It's a good number.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with that. We could always order more if we had to.
Yeah. Okay. And we can still change our minds on
that. Do you want to? Do you need to modify your resolution to reflect that? Do you have?
I don't know if I put in the.
I don't think the dollar amount.
No, I didn't put dollar amount.
You should put a dollar amount. Because if we didn't.
Should we do like a not to cost not to exceed?
Not to exceed. Yes. Yep.
Okay.
But make it more.
Puff it up.
The 2,500.
Right.
Just in case we have to get more.
Yeah.
All right.
You're covered.
Okay.
So not to exceed 3,000.
Yeah, I think that'll be.
Yeah.
3,000.
Gives you some wiggle.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and that way you can do whatever you need to do. Last minute, something pops up.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Yep. And then I'll give a report on it at the board meeting of everything that we're doing that day.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And what motion was that?
The big one.
That's D.
D.
So at the end, I'll or in there somewhere, I'll put cost not to exceed.
Not to exceed.
Before, let's see, why don't we put it down board?
Special election will be held.
How about after the special election will be held in the auditorium of Lysander Town Hall? Just say the cost of the special election shall not exceed.
What are you saying? 3,000?
Yeah.
Yes. Shall not exceed.
Yeah. And then it'll say the notice of special election will be published by the town clerk in accordance with town law section 82 and posted on the town clerk's signboard. Okay.
And you'll update that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the parking resolution for Radisson.
Okay, so this is going to be the Radisson Street.
After J.
It's going to be K, item K.
Now, Dina, are you going to have people monitoring this, or who's going to be? Are you going to be here the entire time?
Yeah, the entire time, yeah.
Are you bringing out any help, or are you, is it just going to be
it's
you?
It's going to be the people from the Board of Elections list and myself.
Okay.
Do they bring the voter registration folks?
Mm-hmm. And there's no cost for this.
Phil, can we get an update on just what's going on with GMH, the cars construction?
And then I'll just read off.
Why are we rescinding a motion and adding?
Because we were off. We were off, and rather than pass another motion to rip another check,
we're just fixing
the glitch.
So when did we pass that original resolution?
That was last meeting, I believe. Al?
That was March 1st.
That March 1st was the original motion on the West Genesee.
What are we doing with this car construction?
Oh, so there was in his... Yes, it was on March 1st, the last meeting. The letter kind of spells it out. So basically there was an error in his column on previous work performed. So we shorted him $1,498 in the resolution, I think it was, $1,498.75, I think, exactly. So we're rescinding the resolution for the lower payment amount and passing a new resolution for the correct amount. And that's so that we can get reimbursed. There's a grant on this that we're getting reimbursed for that we got to submit the pay app, the correct pay app with the numbers that work and the resolution to the DEC to get the reimbursement.
Yeah, and just for accuracy, we didn't short them. He shorted himself.
Yeah, he shorted himself, technically, yes. Technically, he shorted himself, yes.
That's important.
So should we put March 1st then?
March 1st, it doesn't say March 1st?
It just gives just the number.
It's the resolution number.
Resolution number 57.
Okay, yeah, we can.
We can just put it before that, that if you want to.
I don't know if it's required. I mean, if you want to change it, you can, but I don't know if it's...
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
We know which one it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's identified.
It is.
Do you need me anymore on the questions?
No. Do you guys have any other questions on the special election?
All good.
Dina, thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks, Dina.
Not needed.
Do we have any examination material?
Yeah.
Do we?
What about Bob's list?
We're going to call a brief one at the end.
Okay.
Because Tony needs to be a part of it. Burke and John. So let's go to Bob's list. Because it's a hearty list. Obviously, Bob had some time on his hands this morning after eating his Wheaties.
Yep. I'm glad he does. It's good to read.
Some of these you want to join us? Some of these are just really brief. Collington Point conservation easement for land given to the town by that development. Once we receive it officially, once it's given to us, we can go ahead and then take that action.
Which won't be for a while, right?
Until he's ready for us to take dedication of the roads and utilities is when the land transfer would happen. When the land transfer happens is when the restrictive covenants would be put on the deed.
Let's hope Bob's list still around then.
Oh, he's really good keeping these.
That's good.
Lysander Preserve issues. Would like updates on status and the issues. I had a meeting with those folks. Great people. They had some concerns on some work and activity that was going on privately owned land, many of which we heard here. I went up. I wanted to see it firsthand. I wanted to... some of the issues they mentioned were blacktop curbing, damage to blacktop curbing by the village as when they monitor that water pump station. I've been in touch with Steve D'Arcangelo. They're going to fix that area come springtime. Basically what they did was the plows were building up banks and the village took their pickup trucks and moved the banks over so they could access the facility. And in doing so, they kind of ripped up some some yards. So they're going to do the same kind of repair work that they normally do after plow season. The residents appreciated that. Wellhead Protection Overlay District, you know, that's something that we can move on as quickly as you want. Has everybody had an opportunity to read down through that and understand that?
I didn't.
I did not.
Okay. Well, why don't we put that on a work session for discussion next time?
Yeah. It's kind of a common sense thing, being that we have town residents that consume that water as well, and the village residents. It's just a good best management practice for drinkable water.
Okay, so we'll discuss that. Perfect.
Seneca Knoll's odor issue. I had a meeting with Al, legislator May, and basically the brain trust of WEP in the conference room, and a few representatives of that neighborhood, detailing some of the issues that they've had with odors. And I got to tell you, WEP came prepared. They'd done their homework. They proposed changes that should take care of the odor
significantly
issues.
Reduce the odor issues, yep.
There are future improvements to that facility that they anticipate will take 2 or 3 years. So they make modifications to the facility so that in the meantime, those issues will be mitigated. The residents, I thought it was a great meeting. I think the residents were happy with the discussion. They had an opportunity to share their concerns. WEP, again, did their homework. They took pictures, they did write-ups, they showed, they went back and looked
historical
at
data.
Historical data. It was a great meeting. So
their data, they did a wonderful job.
Yep, so I think we're good there. Time will tell. In the next 2 or 3 months, as the weather changes.
Something just popped in my head.
About this?
Yes, about this. They are going to install aerators. The county would like to install aerators in our West Entry pump station and our Stanford Drive pump station. No cost. They're going to buy all the equipment. They're going to do the labor to install them. Our pump stations will power them, but they're little tiny air compressor motors. I doubt if it uses $10 a month of electricity. So I don't know if we necessarily need to do it tonight. We could do it at the next meeting because they just said they aren't going to put them in until warmer weather. No, until warmer weather, basically.
We have to pass a resolution allowing them to do it.
A couple months before this.
But yes, we should. I'll put a note, make a note to get a resolution on the next meeting to authorizing WEP to install the aerators in the West Entry and Stanford Drive.
But the good news here
that is helps that, it.
Yeah.
It'll help it in the summertime months. In the summertime months is when we're getting order from those.
Sure.
Those.
It's a long road there. And
yes.
So by the time it reaches the facility, it's pretty odorous.
Pungent.
So these aerators are going to help inject oxygen into the...
So it doesn't become anaerobic.
So it doesn't become anaerobic and smelly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
Farm animals and chickens. I've been looking at this. I'm surprised. Clay really doesn't address this. Cicero doesn't really address this. Camillus doesn't really address this.
The ones that Jake gave us really don't talk about chickens.
No.
You know, farm animals, and mostly it's cats and dogs. And
so I haven't found language that I'm comfortable proposing. And you guys are also more than welcome to jump on there and try to find some language that would apply to our town. Keep in mind, 85% of our town is agricultural. I think the focus is more in residential, tight-packed residential areas. Just to have something on
the board. Didn't we come up with some, we didn't agree in terms of a resolution, but didn't we come up with some sort of parameter, this 2-acre thing, or five?
Well, that was what was in one of those other local laws.
Okay.
Clay, I think, is a 5-acre minimum restriction, so you can't have farm animals.
So, but farm animals are restricted to farms, and that's what they do is they go link by link by link. And we may find better language in other towns. Just be conscious of, you know, you don't want...
You want to don't infringe on farmers.
Yeah.
And actual farmers.
No, absolutely not. So it's, we have the onus on each of us to do this. You know, we ought to just kind of set a drop dead date, something like June, to come up with something. It shouldn't take us that long to do this.
No, no.
And it's a local law process, so you got another two meetings after you come up with the language that you want to do. You got to set a public hearing and then have the public hearing.
Yep.
All right.
Highways, obviously weather's hindered this process.
Yeah, we started it. We've got a good jump on it. We're, Jerry and I were just talking Monday of taking another ride. Hopefully the roads will be clear.
So you'll make a presentation pretty soon.
Yep, probably hopefully if the weather will cooperate, we'll be looking to do it the first meeting in April.
And you're going to include guardrails as part of that?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Got solutions for all three areas.
Excellent.
Fence code, there are a lot of examples of fence code. I might have something. Ideally, I wanted to take one ordinance at a time. I think we're capable of looking at multiple ordinances at once. You know, I could have some fence code before you, at least to look at by the next meeting.
Yeah, or maybe just email it to us as just things to review. I'd be more than happy to take that.
There's plenty of fence code. Okay. I mean,
every municipality has a code. Yeah, they're all very similar. I think, as far as I know, this is the only town I've ever worked with that doesn't have a fence code. I think it's also the only town I've ever worked with that doesn't have a code for decks.
Decks, yeah. Update from Tony Burke on food vendors. His first swing at bat, I don't think was successful. If I was the umpire, I'd call it a strike. I mean, there wasn't a lot of interest not having a dedicated food.
No, we agreed not to do that. All he was supposed to do was let folks know that we have these various events and he was going to get a variety of people participating. I just want to know, how are you doing? Okay, Tony, you know, at your big truck thing, are you going to have enough food there? So we talked to him.
Yep. Okay. January 18th, we agreed accident procedure protocol needed to be developed. I provided Onondaga County's accident procedure to Bob to take a look at. Then you're probably still looking at that?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe next meeting we'll have something on that. Family medical leave. This is an issue that actually I discussed with down at Association of Towns. Family medical leave concerned the presenters. They were an HR company that represents multiple municipalities. Not so much about the law, but it's not an easy law to incorporate into your HR manual. It's got a lot of long arms, and monitoring it is difficult. So I'll just tell you, they recommended that towns or municipalities hold off.
I'm pleased to hear that, because my intuition was exactly what you just said. It was going to be
but it's not dead. It's just we're holding
just
off.
Hold it off.
I want to find out more about it. Status of Dude Solutions.
They're coming in the 29th and 30th, right?
Well,
29th and 30th. We're going to get everything set up.
That link didn't work either. Can you send that to me again tomorrow?
Yeah.
It wouldn't open the spreadsheet. I don't know if it was because
you
it
didn't
wasn't.
See what I saw.
Yeah, it wanted me to put in a password for, I'm assuming, because it came.
I'll give you this password.
Yeah, if you can download it and save it and then email it to me.
Okay. And then recommendation, Tony B, on how you'd like plan to proceed in terms of hiring an assistant. I think he's in a meeting right now.
Okay.
All right. That is it.
All right. Good job. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
That was good.
Yeah. So I guess what we'll do, can I get a motion to adjourn the work session? We should adjourn the work session if we're done.
I'll move. I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Or end the work session. All right.